Turn in your Bibles, please, to 1 Kings chapter 3. 1 Kings chapter 3. I hope to point us to Jesus, as the song said, tell me the story of Jesus. 1 Kings chapter 3, and there's a lot in here, so I will not do a whole lot of context, but just first state that Solomon is the newly reigned king after David, his father, had reigned for 40 years, was the greatest king that Israel had ever known. Not without fault, as we know, but God used him greatly, and now David has just recently died, and now Solomon is probably around 19 or 20 years old and has just become king. I can't imagine being 19 or 20 years old or even 30 years old and being a king or a ruler of a nation or a president or something like that. So let's read. If I were to title this short message, I would title it The True Source of Wisdom. The True Source of Wisdom. So we're going to see, before I start reading, that God appears to Solomon in a dream. He appears to Solomon in a dream, and we'll see that he asks Solomon, ask what you want of me, basically. Ask what you want of me. And wow, I thought about that question this week. I thought of a lot of things, and sadly, a lot of them weren't very spiritual. You know, if I could have one thing, maybe my nose would be a little smaller, you know, have a better looking nose, maybe a little taller and more athletic, and I'd have made a lot more money, something like that. But let's see what Solomon asks for. What did Solomon desire? And may we learn from this example. So let's just cut in 1 Kings chapter 3. Let's start in verse 3. And Solomon loved the Lord, walking in the statutes of David, his father, only he sacrificed and burnt incense in high places. And the king went to Gibeon to sacrifice there, for there was the great high place. 1,000 burnt offerings did Solomon offer upon that altar. In Gibeon, the Lord appeared, here's the dream we're talking about, in Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night, and God said, ask what I shall give thee. And Solomon said, listen to Solomon's answer. First off, he shows honor to the Lord. He gives the Lord honor. And Solomon says, thou hast showed unto thy servant David my father great mercy, according as he walked before thee in truth and in righteousness and in uprightness of heart with thee. And thou hast kept for him this great kindness, that thou hast given him a son to sit on his throne as it is this day. And now, O Lord my God, thou hast made thy servant king instead of David my father. And listen, here's where humility comes in. He says, and I am but a little child. I know not how to go out or to come in. And thy servant is in the midst of thy people, which thou hast chosen, a great people that cannot be numbered nor counted for multitude. So he shows great humility. Lord, I'm but a child, not only in actual age, about 19 or 20 years old, most likely, but also in understanding, in how am I going to rule a nation? I don't know. I'm wet behind the ears. I don't know what to do. How am I going to do this? I'm but a little child. So here's what he asks for. Verse 9, give therefore thy servant an understanding heart. And what that really means is a hearing heart. Bless me to be quick to hear, slow to speak. It really means to be able to hear intelligently, to have to be able to hear the matter intelligently. So give therefore thy servant an understanding or hearing heart to judge thy people, that I may discern between good and bad. For who is able to judge this thy so great a people? Lord, I can't do this on my own. Well, how did God react? Verse 10. And the speech pleased the Lord, that Solomon had asked this thing. And God said unto him, because thou hast asked this thing, and hast not asked for thyself long life, neither hast asked riches for thyself, nor hast asked the life of thine enemies, but hast asked for thyself understanding to discern judgment. Behold, I have done according to thy words. Lo, I have given thee a wise and an understanding heart, so that there was none like thee before thee, neither after thee shall any arise like unto thee. God is going to make Solomon the wisest human being outside of Jesus Christ to ever walk the earth. And I have also given thee that which thou hast asked not. He even gave him above and beyond both riches and honor, so that there shall not be any among the kings like unto thee all thy days. Verse 14, and if thou wilt walk in my ways to keep my statutes and my commandments, as thy father David did walk, then I will lengthen thy days. So God honors Solomon's desire. God honors Solomon's desire for wisdom. Lord, please give me this an understanding heart. I'm but a child. I don't know what to do. I'm probably scared and timid. Matter of fact, it was a great battle to be able to get Solomon to be king, because we know David's other son Adonijah tried to usurp the throne, and it took David right before he died, and probably just a weak voice, reiterating that Solomon is heir to the throne. So Solomon became king. He asked God wisdom. God gives him wisdom. And we know that many people after this, people from all over would come to Solomon to ask wisdom. We know the story in verse 16 of 1 Kings chapter 3 when those two women came to him. They had both born babies, and one of the babies had died in the middle of the night. And what the mother did is she switched her baby with the other lady's baby, and so that the other lady's baby, who had the living child, woke up and she saw that this child was dead. They go to Solomon. What are we going to do? What are we going to do? You know, they're going back and forth, and Solomon says, "Well, give me a knife and let's cut the baby in half, and y'all can, you know, it'll just make it all better, right?" Well, the lady who had pulled the trick, she said, "Oh yeah, that's a good idea." And then Solomon knew who to give the baby to, whose child it really was. So he showed great wisdom. He had such great wisdom. If we'll go to 1 Kings chapter 10, that this queen of the south, this queen of Sheba, which is somewhere in Arabia, I believe, she had heard all about this King Solomon in Israel. She had heard all about his great wisdom. He just has such great discernment and maturity beyond his years. So she wanted to go see for herself. Let's start reading in 1 Kings chapter 10, verse 1. And when the queen of Sheba heard of the fame of Solomon concerning the name of the Lord, she came to prove him with hard questions. Let's see if he's really all he's cracked up to be. And she came to Jerusalem with a very great train, with camels that bear spices and very much gold and precious stones. And when she was come to Solomon, she communed with him of all that was in her heart. And Solomon told her all her questions. There was not anything hid from the king which he told her not. And when the queen of Sheba had seen all Solomon's wisdom and the house that he had built, and the meat of his table, and the sitting of his servants, and the attendance of his ministers, and their apparel, and his cupbearers, and his ascent by which he went up into the house of the Lord, there was no more spirit in her. Which basically means she was blown away. He is all that. He's actually exceeded my expectations. Let's keep reading. He exceeded, his wisdom exceeded the queen of Sheba's expectations. There was no more spirit in her. She was so overwhelmed, probably about to faint. Verse 6, and she said to the king, "It was a true report that I heard in mine own land of thy acts and of thy wisdom. Howbeit, I believed not the words." I didn't really believe it. I had to see for myself. "Until I came and mine eyes had seen it. And behold, the half was not told me. Thy wisdom and prosperity exceedeth the fame which I heard." Praise God for the wisdom of Solomon. But do you know what? And we need to follow that example. What are the desires of our heart? You know, Psalm 37 says, "Delight thyself in the Lord, and he will give thee the desires of thy heart." Where are our desires? What do we desire? Do we desire to please God? Do we desire to have wisdom as we grow older, to make hard decisions, to make decisions between right and wrong? So that's a great example to look to. But did you know that Solomon was so far from perfect? Solomon had a wavering eye for women. And there were many foreign women that led him away from the Lord. And so that towards as his life went on, he actually began to worship false gods, pagan gods, the god of Astaroth, I think, and other pagan gods because of these women that he had fell prey to. And so Solomon sadly died with God's anger being kindled towards him. But there is a perfect example of wisdom that we can look to. Let's go to Matthew chapter 12. Matthew chapter 12. Jesus had been, if you want to say, going back and forth with the scribes and the Pharisees, who basically, they were just questioning him. He was giving them parables. And they would always, it seems like they would try to question him and catch him in some type of mistake. Maybe try to catch him in maybe a sin or maybe a misspeaking somehow. I'm in Mark. Matthew chapter 12. And so they want to see a sign of Jesus' power. They want to see, Jesus, you really all, you're cracked up to be. Remember, like the Queen of Sheba, she had to see it for herself to believe of this wisdom of Solomon. Well, let's start. We'll start in verse 38 of Matthew chapter 12. Then certain of the scribes and of the Pharisees answered, saying, "Master, we would see a sign from thee." But he answered and said unto them, "An evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign. And there shall no sign be given to it, but the sign of the prophet Jonas," or Jonah. "For as Jonas was 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man," Jesus, "be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. The men of Nineveh shall rise in judgment with this generation and shall condemn it, because they repented at the preaching of Jonas. And behold, a greater than Jonas is here." Verse 42, Jesus continues speaking. "The queen of the south," that he's talking about the queen of Sheba, "shall rise up in judgment with this generation and shall condemn it. For she came from the uttermost parts of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon." Some commentators believe she traveled as far as maybe 1,500 plus miles. And you know, she did. I know she traveled in a big pomp and circumstance, but they didn't have cars or airplanes. Thankfully, Brother Andy and Sister Anna had a plane to fly to get here. I don't know exactly, I guess, carriot, I don't know what they use, chariots, I don't know what they use, but 1,500 miles just to hear of this man's wisdom. And yet you, scribes and Pharisees, you won't believe, you are rebellious and just stubborn and hard-hearted. So, "For she came from the uttermost parts of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon, and behold, a greater than Solomon is here." And that is Jesus Christ. So for just maybe 2 minutes, I want to go to two verses and talk about this greater than Solomon, who is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, Jesus Christ. In Hebrews chapter 1, you know, it's sad. We know of people who have been such great examples to us, godly examples, and yet they may have a failure. Maybe it's a moral failure or something like that. And it's so sad because we looked up to them and they let us down. You know, Solomon, he did that. I'm sure he let people down by really making shipwreck in a lot of ways as he fell prey to those women. But did you know the greater than Solomon, Jesus Christ, will never let you down. He is the perfect example of wisdom. He is God's wisdom. And that's what I wanted to get across here real quick in Hebrews chapter 1. "God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by His Son, whom He hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also He made to the worlds, who being," here's what I wanted, "the brightness of His glory and the express image of His person, and upholding all things by the word of His power, when He had by Himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the Majesty on high. Jesus Christ is the wisdom of God. He is God revealed. He is the brightness of His glory. You know, you don't actually see the sun. When you look at the sun, what do you see is the sun's rays. And that's what Jesus Christ is to God. He is the rays of God. He is the brightness of God. He is the express image, or you could say the exact copy. Just like a stamp, when you stamp something, Jesus Christ is the stamp of God. Colossians chapter 1 says that He is the image of the invisible God. The firstborn of all creation, or kind of like the first parent of all creation. He is the image of the invisible God. 1 Corinthians 1 says that Christ is the power of God and the wisdom of God. So I just want to close by pointing you to Jesus Christ and exhorting you and myself to do what Brother Andy told us to do. Where do we find that wisdom? Where do we find out about Jesus Christ? We find out about Him through His Word. He is the Word, as it says in John chapter 1. So I want to encourage us to seek a greater than Solomon. That is Jesus Christ. Let's pray.